Christ. Amen. Tonight we are observing the Feast of the Ascension. Now, if you were to ask the average person what does the Ascension mean, they might understand it, they might not, but if they did, they might say something, well, that is the day that Jesus went away from us. He went back into heaven, and now he's gone. They speak as though there were some sort of a secret passage to heaven there at the Mount of Olives. Jesus went up. Most people don't think much about the presence of Jesus. When they do, most people think about Jesus as being up there, somewhere. I sometimes wonder if the problem is that we use the word heaven in maybe two different ways. We use the word heaven to refer to that up in the sky, the place where the birds fly and the place from which the sun, the moon, and the stars shine upon us. We also use the word heaven to mean God's presence. God is present in heaven, the eternal realm where we experience God's love, mercy, and his peace. It's all too easy to get these two ideas confused and think of God's heaven as being out there, somewhere. It's an actual place where God is. Now, if we look at Holy Scripture, we learn that God has always had the desire to dwell with his people. God wants to be with us. He has always had the desire to be Emmanuel, God with us. It was us, mankind, that made the presence of God a frightening thing. When God made his presence known in the cool of the day, it was Adam and Eve who ran and hid from God. Adam and Eve were the ones who had sinned and could no longer hear or bear to see God or have him present near them. It is our sin that makes it so that no one may look upon God and live. It's our sin that makes it so that although God is always with us, he must hide his presence from us so that we may live. Our sin makes it much more comfortable for us to think of God as way out there in the blue, rather than he is actually present with us. Now, the history of the Bible reveals a God who is with his people. God promised to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord was with Joseph in Egypt. When God gave his laws to his people of the Old Testament at Mount Sinai, he gave them also the plans for the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, and all the other furnishings of the tabernacle, so that they would know that he was present with them, even though they could not see him. Read, for instance, the history of Joshua, the people of Israel, as they entered into the Promised Land, and you will read about God's encouragement to Joshua. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Think about the Exodus as the Israelites wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. God was present with them. How? By a pillar of fire by night and by a cloud in the daytime. You can read about Gideon and the other judges. How about Samuel and King David? You will regularly encounter God's promise to remain with them. Even when Israel sinned and God allowed Babylon to destroy Jerusalem and drive all the Israelites again into exile, God continued to be with his people. have the ultimate expression of God's desire to be with man. Here we have the ultimate expression of God's nearness to us. Jesus is not only the fullness of God in human flesh, but he is also God at work to heal the sin that drove us away from God in the first place. In Jesus, we see God dealing with our sin so that he can reveal himself as the God who is near us. Jesus dealt with our sin by becoming one of us so that he could take our place under the law. Jesus suffered the temptations of Satan in the exact same way that we did. One exception. He didn't sin. We can't fight the temptations from time to time. He allowed the Roman soldiers to nail him to a cross, and then he died. On that same cross, he suffered the full punishment for our sin in our place. He endured all of that in our place so that our sin would not be charged against us, so that we would have the righteousness of a holy life. He endured all of that so that we could once again enjoy the full blessing of God's presence with us. That which was broken by Adam and Eve in the garden. When Jesus finished paying for our sin, he rose from the dead. He kept coming. And he showed himself for 40 days to his disciples. During those 40 days, he began showing his disciples that he was going to be with them in a new way. He was always with them, but they couldn't always see him. The one thing I want you to understand tonight is that God is not some far-off deity who's not interested in you. Instead, God strongly desires to be near you, to care for you, to serve you. God is near to you as in every breath that you take. And if heaven is a place where God dwells, that heaven is as near as he is. Thus, when today's gospel tells us that Jesus was carried up into heaven, it's not telling us that Jesus is gone from our lives. No. Instead, it's telling us that Jesus is closer to us than he ever was before. The heavens we see when we look up into the night sky show us stars that are distant points of light. The heaven, that is the presence of God, is near at hand. When we understand the difference, then we understand how Jesus can say, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." We can also understand how the Holy Spirit can inspire the writer to the Hebrews to say, "God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." These words teach us that Jesus is always with us each and every day. It is not just the divine nature of Jesus that is with us either. Ever since Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he is both God and man in one person. As Paul told the Christians in Colossae, he said, "For in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Jesus Christ is always and will be God in human flesh. He always will. Anytime that Jesus is with us, he is both God and man. Now, it Jesus is 100% God. And Jesus is 100% man. We're very used to the idea that God is everywhere all the time. But when it comes to the humanity of Jesus Christ, things start to get tough. It's hard, if not impossible, to imagine a man being everywhere all the time. Try and wrap your head around it. It's pretty difficult. Our minds want to rebel against this idea that Jesus is with us all in his deity and all in his humanity. It's difficult for us to grasp. Fortunately, God doesn't call us to understand all of it. God calls us just to believe. This eternal presence of God with us means that Jesus is always with us in his full deity and his full humanity. The very body with the prints of the thorns, the marks of the nails, the hole where the spear pierced his side. Even though we cannot see it, it's present in a way that we cannot understand at all, even in all of his forgiveness for us, in all of his love, all of his comfort is with each and every one of us every day in the body of Jesus Christ, sacrificed on the cross and risen from the dead. Now, we've become used to this real presence, same real presence, whenever we discuss the true body and blood of our Savior in, with, and under the bread and the wine present tonight. In fact, the term real presence refers to the entire life of Christians. The ascension that we celebrate tonight means that our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is always with us, always and forever. He is really present. And the real presence of Jesus means that it is Jesus who serves us in his divine service. When the pastor forgives our sins in Jesus' name, the real presence of Jesus means that it is Jesus who is forgiving us. When we hear the Word of God read here, the real presence of Jesus means that it is Jesus speaking to us. When we receive the sacrament of the altar, the real presence means that it is Jesus forgiving, loving, and comforting us. The ascension of our Lord means that God-man Jesus Christ is fully with us even though we cannot see him. The good news is that the day is coming when we shall see him. The first reading for today from Acts tells us that while the disciples were gazing into heaven as Jesus went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus will come again. We will see him face to face. For the Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and